For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What is going on? It's the Ethos Clippers podcast coming at you here on Sunday evening after Los Angeles Clippers lose another matinee game. Water is wet, my friends. And when water is wet, that means that your podcast hosts who are here every week are back again. Brandon Marcus joined by my co-host Matt Matawarn back on the Ethos Clippers podcast. Matt, how are you, my friend?
Sports Ethos, Clipper Nation, Brandon Marcus, how the heck are you? Water is wet, roller coasters go up, they go down, they go round and round, and here we are again.
Right before we started this podcast, I said to you that this is basically the same thing over and over and over again. How many times have we come on this podcast and said how disappointing it is that the Clippers cannot get up for a matinee game? And we've discussed how it's against East Coast teams, but that should not be the deciding factor when those East Coast teams are having to wake up at the same time you are. And I get your routine's a little bit different, but again, it's another matinee game. The Clippers take on a 76ers team that they're 9.5-point favorites against. Just like they were big favorites last time we recorded this podcast against the Atlanta Hawks, and they lay another egg. Two of the worst losses of the season, and we're recording right after each of them. And we mentioned that we were going to try and possibly get a podcast out beginning of the week. We couldn't get that done. I started a new job this week, and for those of you that do follow me on X, that you'll know that I also traveled to Spokane, Washington this weekend because UC Irvine, the team that I broadcast for, made it to the NCAA tournament. So I was doing that yesterday, hence why we're doing this podcast here today. So we apologize that we're taking so long, but at the same time, listen, we got you two in a week, Monday and then Sunday. So we got you two in a week. We're going to try and get you, of course, two every single week as the season comes to an end. And I'm not sure how long we're going to be recording, Matt, because the way that this team's playing, I know we talked about it on this last podcast, hence what I just said. It seems like we're discussing the same thing over again. It looks like this team could very well lose in round one. Not pretty here today. It's the same old story. The team doesn't rebound. The team commits stupid turnovers. The team relies on guys like Kawhi, PG, to get them out of a hole, and they can't do it. The defense is sloppy. The rebounding, like I said, not good. Same old story, Matt. Same old story.
It's the same old story, but I'm looking at this rebounding as if, like, and that is definitely an issue, offensive rebounding for sure, but the rebounding was even today.
Yeah, it didn't seem like that.
At 37 apiece, though. So while you could point to rebounding is it points to a bigger issue, which is effort, which is execution. And the Clippers had none of that today. I mean, you look at the first quarter, Philly came to play. The Clippers basically did not. I mean, it really looks like, and of course you're going to beat a Portland Trailblazers team in the last two games that you're supposed to. And even then, it didn't inspire you really. I mean, they lost the first quarter of the game, the first game against the Portland Trailblazers. They blew them out in that second game in the first quarter, but that's because it's the Portland Trailblazers. You have to have some sort of killer instinct, some sort of focus. It really seems as if the Clippers, and this is like since the All-Star break, and how many times can we say it, but it just looks like they really just want the playoffs to begin. Like, let's get this second half of the season over with, and let's get to the playoffs. So while rebounding certainly is an issue, and, you know, 37 apiece is actually not a lot for either team, it's more of an effort issue, in my opinion.
Yes, and that's exactly what we discussed last podcast, that like this stuff that they're doing wrong, a lot has to do with effort. I mean, turnovers, sloppy. Rebounding has to do with effort. Defense has to do, a lot of it has to do with effort. I mean, Tobias Harris has been going through one of his worst periods in his entire career. He had been horrendous for a really long stretch. Like, there are Philadelphia Sixers fans, and it may not have been that long of a stretch, but it's like a few games in a row that he was shooting like 20 or 30% and was not even doing anything that was contributing. And this is with Embiid out. I mean, the Clippers just lost to a 76ers team that came in with, I think they said this on the radio broadcast today, I was listening on the way home, I think is a 28th ranked three-point shooting offense. And the Clippers let them go like 7 of 9 in the first quarter, and campaign destroyed them. Shades of when campaign was on the Suns and did it to the Clippers. And the Clippers just have not been good. And we mentioned the rebounding. And I want to bring up a tweet by Law Murray. He tweeted during the game, for those wondering where the Clippers rebounding woes come from, the bench has too many players who just don't have a nose for the ball before or after shots. And I immediately retweeted that because I was like, let's not put the blame just on the bench. The starters have been equally horrendous. And so I looked it up, and PG averaging his worst rebounding number since his rookie year. T-Man, his lowest since his rookie year. Kawhi, his lowest since 2017. James Harden, in case you are wondering, yes, you have to go all the way back to when he was with Houston in 2020-2021. He had the exact same 5.1 rebounds per game. Before that, you have to go back to the 13-14 season with Houston, when he averaged 4.7. He's at 5.1. That's one of his lowest numbers of his entire career, if you exclude his time in OKC. Like, I mean, listen, this is not just a bench thing. This is Harden, PG, Kawhi, your three guys you're supposed to build around that are not leading by example. And then T-Man, a guy that's supposed to give you a lot of energy, not getting rebounds as well. There was a point today where he had like one rebound, and this is a guy that has a ton of athleticism and should not be getting one rebound in a game. He finished with one rebound, 6 points, one rebound in 23 minutes. One rebound in 23 minutes is pathetic, okay? We've been T-Man stands on this podcast. It's a lot harder to rebound when they're not missing shots, and they shot 53% and 18 of 37 for three, 48.5% from downtown. But listen, man, it's just not good enough. 13 turnovers, not good enough. Allowing 12 offensive rebounds, not good enough. Like, this team right now, like you said, really feels like they're coasting through. And where has that gotten the Clippers the last couple of seasons during the 2-1-3 era? It's gotten them bounced and not making the NBA Finals. I'm tired of the Clippers doing this. They showed that they gave a, you know what, through like a 30-game stretch. But we're back to square one with this team seeming like it really does not care. And like you said, just wants the postseason to be here. And that's not going to fly against teams like Denver.
Hey, man, you nailed it. It's not good enough. It boils down to it, right? You talk about our good friends on Twitter. Justin Russo actually asked T. Lou. He said, would it be an option, and a nuclear option at that, to sit some of these players? You talked about the starting players not pulling their weight, to sit some of these players. If they're not executing, is that something that would be on the table? Ty Lue said, look, these are veterans, and I'm paraphrasing, these are veterans. They understand what the F they're doing. And he said, I feel good about this team. I feel confident, and they just need to wake the hell up. Now, I agree with one of those three statements from Ty Lue in that they need to wake the hell up, but I don't feel good about this team, and I don't feel confident, and I was riding high on this team. Last time we spoke, you said you think that they could possibly lose in the first round. I said, no. Kawhi, Kawhi will lift all boats. The tide will lift all boats. Whatever. I still don't know what that is. I got to look that up. I need to look up that phrase. But I thought that there's no way they're losing in the first round because Kawhi is so good. I still think Kawhi is that good, but now I'm not so sure after watching this game, after watching an uninspired win against the Trailblazers in that first game. I don't know, man. It's like they need to wake the hell up is the truest thing Ty Lue said in his entire response to Justin Russo's question. You know, he said he talks about these are veterans. We know what we need to do. I have faith in these guys. Yeah, they're veterans and I have faith in them too. But at a certain point, it's like, when will they wake the hell up, you know? And it's getting like you started this podcast, it's getting exhausting to just go round and round and round since the All-Star break and maybe even a little bit before. It's like, what is going on? What is it going to take to get the effort that we saw when these Clippers were rolling? Because if they don't get back to that form, then they could be a first round out, quite honestly.
So if you go back to March 6th when the Clippers played at Houston, they have been a underdog in two of the games, okay? And that's over the span of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games. They have lost 5 of those games, okay? That's really bad. That means they've lost 3 of the games in which they were favorites. They lost at home today against Philly, lost against Atlanta when they were a favorite, and they lost at home against Minnesota when they were a favorite. They lost to Milwaukee at home. That was when the Clippers all of a sudden went from a small favorite to a big dog because the guy sat, and they lost at New Orleans when they were an underdog. If people were listening to this podcast, they remember me saying that after that game against Milwaukee on March 4th, if you start with the game at Houston on March 6th, the Clippers are going to be underdogs 2 times if everyone is healthy. So far, it's been 2 times. The other game that they may be an underdog may be at Philly. But at this point, I'd be surprised given what Philly has. And if they're 9.5-point favorites at home without Embiid, and it's going to be the same exact roster at Philly if that's the case, the Clippers are going to be favorites in Philly. The line won't switch that much. So that means the Clippers are going to be underdogs twice in that span from March 6th to March 31st, and they will have already lost 5 games. It's very bad basketball. I mean, you look at their defense, and it's been pathetic. And, I mean, it was a cause for concern. It was being highlighted by a while, but people thought the offense might be able to cover it up. And Adam Oslin tweeted earlier today, the Clippers, since the Grammy road trip, have the fifth, with remember that Grammy road trip where they went 6-1? They have the 15th best offense and a defense that's 27th. That's over 21 games where they're 10-11. This is not one of those flip the switch type things, man. If you go 10-11 over a 21 game span, which is a quarter of the season, and you've got the 27th ranked offense, I don't think that defense all of a sudden does not get that much better. You're not going to go from the 27th ranked defense to a top 10 defense. If you don't have a top 10 defense, you're not winning the NBA title. So I've seen enough. I've seen enough. I'm calling it now. This team has zero shot to win the NBA title. Unless somehow Russell Westbrook is the key to this team and the Clippers suddenly wake up, which I don't think is going to be the case, they have zero shot to win the NBA title, and I have now resigned myself to this team being bounced in the first round.
So you mentioned Russell Westbrook coming back, and I've just been a huge proponent of that's going to change the fortunes of the Clippers. And I still think that's the case if we're just talking about the first round. But Westbrook, as much as I love him, he is not Tony Allen, right? He's not going to come back and just change the defense and turn it all the way around, because what you just said is stunning, that they've been that bad on defense for that long. And I knew it, but I mean, just to hear the numbers out loud really shakes you to your core, and it makes you think, damn, like with the talent and with the way they were playing on their huge run on the rodeo road trip, we could have been a contender. But it doesn't seem like that's the way it's playing out now, especially when you look at other potential matchups in the West. Like, you know, you think that's probably going to be Clippers versus New Orleans in the first round. But I mean, you know, Phoenix is still lurking. So you never know. Like, Clippers could even fall into the sixth and then play the third, whoever that may be, if it's Minnesota or God forbid Denver or OKC. I mean, the West is so stacked, and the Clippers are going completely in the wrong direction right now. And I don't know exactly what it would take to fix it, because, you know, you can sort of be on in a shooting slump, which really they're not all that much. I mean, the threes aren't falling like the way they were when they were on that hot streak. But Paul George is being efficient. Kawhi Leonard is being efficient. James Harden probably could stand to be a little bit more efficient. But just the defense, the team man of it all, like, it's been kind of non-existent. You mentioned that before with the rebounds. And Russ coming back is just not going to fix that. So unless this team can sort of have a come to Jesus moment to where we need to get back to where we were. Yeah, I mean, a first round out is a definite possibility, and a second round out is a definite probability, in my opinion.
Yeah, no doubt. And from today's game, you know how we always look at the four guys, Kawhi, PG, Harden, and Powell, and we're like, if those four guys have performed pretty well, they're going to win games. And if one of those guys doesn't play well, they're still probably going to win the game. Powell, 20 points, 7 of 11. Kawhi, 20 points, 7 of 16. I mean, he makes one more shot, he's at 50%. PG, 18 points, 7 of 15. He probably needs to make a couple more shots. And Harden, 5 of 13. So Harden had a bad game, but he had 14 assists and 2 turnovers. So despite that, the Clippers still only scored 107, which is crazy. Because I heard this stat. It was on the JJ Redick podcast when he had Legs on. And Legs was saying that the Clippers were averaging like 105 points per game at like during that losing streak, whatever it was, and during that rough patch. And he was like, Washington, which is the worst team in the league, I think, as he was saying, they're averaging like 113 points. Like, offense has been a premium, or offense has been very easy to get for a lot of teams, and the Clippers only scoring 107 is really bad. I mean, you compare that, obviously, to the games against Portland. In those games, they scored 125 and 116. But then look at the losses. They scored 93 against Atlanta, 104 against New Orleans, 100 against Minnesota before that. Like, the offense, like, we've talked about the defense so much to start this podcast. The offense hasn't been good enough either. It's like, what happened to this Clippers team? Because the Clippers team before the All-Star break was scoring for fun. I mean, you look at some of these games. Detroit, 136. Atlanta, 149. You look in January when they won all those games. 115 against Boston. 127 against Lakers and against New Orleans. Or against Toronto. 125 against Brooklyn. 128 against OKC. 128 against Memphis. 126 against Toronto. 138 against Phoenix. Like, dude, the offense has also fallen apart, which is, I mean, you can't have both of these not being good at the same time. And that's been the case right now, is the offense sucks and the defense sucks.
And you're so right about the offense. And, you know, people will point to, well, you know, it's the new rules, it's the playground rules, the Clippers can't get to the line enough. And that's, if you just look at it, it's not really the case. Because, look, going back to that game against the Bulls, they got the line 14 times. The Bulls got to the line 16 times. I'm looking back to the Hawks game, which the Clippers lost in embarrassing fashion. The Hawks got to the line 12 times. The Clippers got to the line 29 times.
Yeah, look at today. Look at today. The Clippers 17 of 18.
Exactly. Jump to today. And guess what? The Sixers only got to the line 9 times, and they were 7 of 9. So that has nothing to do with it. It's they're still getting to the line. It's just something has fractured in this team and in their execution. And we'll keep saying it in the effort, because when you watch, and you're more of an X's and O's guys than I am, because you watch a lot more games than I do, and you call, you know, you greatly call these UCI games, but I can just watch and see in the first 5 minutes, in the first 2 minutes of the game, like, boy, these guys, they just did not come out. They just don't have it. They're like, it's palpable when you watch. The eye test will tell you something is just not clicking.
Yeah, I don't know what it is either. Yeah, one second. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about this, because let's take a second.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Cool down. All right, so this is frustrating because I mentioned this last podcast that we wanted to come into these podcasts being more optimistic because it's so easy to get negative. But like when you get to a point where you're watching the same thing over and over and over again, it becomes really frustrating. Like when your wife tells you to do something four times and you've got it the first time, it's like, listen, I got it. But it feels like Ty Lue is telling these guys over and over and over again what needs to be done. And it doesn't seem to matter. Like, you have veteran dudes on this team with PG, Kawhi, and Harden. And then you look at guys like Zoo, and you look at Powell. You have dudes who have been around. And this continues to get, like, done where they just are not following what they need to follow. I don't know if they're not paying attention to the scout. They're not hustling. They're not rebounding. They're not playing defense. Like, these are things that are very fixable, which gives me a slight, slight ounce of optimism that they can turn this around to back where they were. But it just doesn't seem like this team is interested. And here's a stat that I found really interesting that I read earlier today from Farbod Esnashari, who posted this. And it's been something that we've discussed on this podcast when the Clippers were trying to be one of those upper echelon teams, but they weren't because of this that I'm about to read to you. The Clippers are now 1-8. 1 win, 8 losses against winning teams since the All-Star breaks. 1-8 against winning teams since the All-Star break. What has been our biggest gripe with the Clippers is that they thought they were a contender, but they never beat the good teams. They went through a stretch where they were able to beat Minnesota. They beat OKC. Since then, they have fallen flat on their ass, and they cannot beat a good team to save their life. What makes you think they're suddenly going to be able to beat the Denver Nuggets 4 times in 7 games? What makes you think they can beat the OKC Thunder or the Minnesota Timberwolves or the New Orleans Pelicans 4 times in 7 games if they are 1-8 against winning teams right now? I just don't know how they flipped that switch, Matt.
I mean, that is crazy because, there's a consistency of chemistry that makes these teams like the Nuggets, like OKC this season, even teams who like the Rockets who are rocketing right now. They lost Şengün, but they're going great. But there's a chemistry to the mix. Do you remember a while ago when there were a few arguments about assignments on the bench between like Coffey and yes. and Zoo or whoever it was?
Yeah.
So today there's a jump ball, and they can barely get into their formation for the jump ball because PG and Tice are just arguing back and forth about whatever the blown assignment or why the jump ball was caused or whatever it was. And anybody that watched the game will probably remember that moment because it was weird because it was a jump ball that turned into another jump ball. It was 2 jump balls in a row. And I just think that the chemistry on this team was so good up until a certain point, and now it seems a little disconnected. The guys seem disconnected, not only from each other, but from a pursuit of excellence. And that's why you lose. That's why you only win one game against plus 500 teams, is because they are connected like that. And that's what it takes to win a championship. And I'm not saying the Clippers can't still this season, but if you don't have that consistency of chemistry, mm-hmm. it's not going to happen.
And the Clippers have had guys in and out of the lineup, and we mentioned this recently, that when you've had Westbrook out, you've had Harden, PG, Kawhi, all missing games, Zoo, makes it difficult. And so that's another ounce of optimism that I have, is that when these guys are healthy, and it seems like they're all about to be, maybe they'll be able to figure it out. But it just feels like this is not just about the guys on the floor and who they are and getting everybody healthy. It feels like this is now like a locker room toxic thing that's occurring. And you mentioned that moment where the argument, and even on radio during the first half, because I thought back-to-back jump ball thing was in the second half. In the first half, Carlo was describing very well a moment where PG was trying to describe something with his hand in terms of a half court and drawing with his hand and how certain pick and roll needs to be done. It seems like this team, just for some reason, it has just met each other. And they're trying to figure out how to play with each other when they were playing together and doing it so well for a large part of the time during the season. And now it seems like they all, like, I don't want to bring up a phrase that is bad, so I'm not going to. But it just feels like they all got amnesia and they all are trying to remember how to play with each other again. It's very strange, and I don't get it. It makes no sense whatsoever. It's like these guys have just been put together, and they're trying to figure things out again because they've never played. And I don't know, man. It's not great. And listen, here's another thing. Remember when we talked about PG saying the team has no identity? It clearly seems that way. This team has no identity. Like, something's going on behind the scenes, Matt. There has to be.
And, yeah, that was like a week ago. To say that the team has no identity is when they lost the first six, but the first five after Harden started playing. Then you can say the team has no identity. But to say it when how many games are there left? 14, 13?
Yeah.
That is alarming. And I wonder, like, where does it fall? Like, who needs to step up in that leadership role? You know, Ty can only do so much, but the guys on the court, is it Harden? Is it Kawhi? Is it PG? I don't know that it can be anybody else. You know, Norm, as much as we love him, can yell all he wants. You know, he can get the third eye going and say, guys, listen, we need to focus in, but it needs to be one, if not all of those three. And I wouldn't be surprised. I would be surprised, actually, because I don't think they've ever done it. But what if, like, the Clippers did some sort of, like, players-only meeting to say, look, we got to get on the same page here because we are moments away from the playoffs where we may even slip into the sixth seed if we're not careful and we don't take care of business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they may not care about home court advantage. They may just want to get into the playoffs and say, look, we can turn it on because we have three Hall of Famers, four if you count Westbrook coming back. But there needs to be some sort of accountability for what's been happening. Not just these guys are veterans, not just we know what to do when the time steps up. Who's got the accountability and can say, look, we suck right now and I need to step it up, but guess what? So does everybody else. Somebody needs to say something. And I'm not hearing it.
Can I tell you something? Remember when I came on this podcast and I said that something's going on in the locker room with PJ Tucker and how that seemed to be something that was distracting the team? Is it not just a little bit concerning that the Clippers got blown out today and Bones Highland did not even appear in the ball game? Is that not just a little bit concerning, considering he was the other guy that was sent home? And credit to you, because I thought there was certainly a role for Bones Highland, and he had gone through a nice couple of games where it seemed like he was going to be filling in just fine for Russell Westbrook, but he went from hero to absolute zero in a hurry, and something's going on where Xavier Moon is getting put in the game before Bones Highland. So not only do I think Tucker is a distraction right now, I think Bones Highland is becoming a distraction. And I think that James Harden may be becoming a distraction in a way, because James Harden did not meet the media for the second straight game. He bounced before Ty Lue even went to his press conference today and did not address the media. Is that a veteran to you that goes and dips the media and doesn't speak to the media after a loss? Like, I get it. You're frustrated. Listen, so are we. But you're getting paid money to play basketball and to speak to the media afterwards. That is certainly a part of your job. And for Harden to dodge the media two games in a row, apparently, from what Tom Marzarli said, and for that to be coupled with this PJ Tucker and Bones Highland stuff, there's stuff going on behind the scenes, man. And if that's the case, then I'm going to double up on this team having zero chance to get out of round one. Zero chance to get out to win the title. And very little chance to win round one.
I do think that we will get it together, and we'll see what's happening to possibly win round one. But you're so right about what's happening in behind the scenes, because with Bones, who had that one excellent game, and I never really thought anything behind the scenes was so crazy, but he is. But you remember that him and he and Pajamas were a DNP, and they didn't even travel with the team at one point. They just said stay home.
Yeah.
So I do believe that Pajamas specifically can be a distraction. I don't think Bones has the gravitas. You know, he can, even if he is complaining, I don't know that that would really affect too many people. PJ, being the veteran that he is, perhaps, and just the imposing presence. But it more speaks to Harden and is what I just said about who is going to step up as a leader and perhaps pull him aside and say, dude, you have responsibilities now that you're here. You had 14 assists tonight. Great. You were a minus 16. Your plus minus is higher than your assists, which are 14. That's not a great thing. You got to talk to the media. You got to talk to us. And we got to talk to you about being the point guard of this team. And if there's any chance of advancing in the West, of advancing further than that, you are going to have to be a big part of it. So I don't know where, it's basically like you're saying, I don't know where the leadership comes from, because there's only so much Ty Lue can say to these guys. And who knows what he's saying behind the scenes. To the press, he's not saying much. To Justin Russo, he's saying, I feel confident. I feel good. These guys are veterans. We can do it. Okay, well, I don't feel confident just because these guys are veterans that they can do it. Guess what? Like you said, James Harden hasn't even talked the media in the last two games. Who knows? I don't want to say Doc Rivers was right that post All-Star break James Harden breaks down, but he's not breaking down, but I don't know. It's super concerning. And like you said before the break, we need to cool down, and we've probably only heated up. And the reason we have is because, like always, this Clipper team, this franchise has given us so much hope.
Yeah.
And we were riding this high, and, you know, we're like, okay, we come into this season. Great. We love it. No expectations, or, you know, not championship expectations, but we're a little under the radar. And then they go on this huge run. And it's like, okay, well, now the Clippers are in the spotlight. Once again, there's championship aspirations. Let's talk about it. And then, guess what happens? The roller coaster ride dips. It's the huge drop. It's Montezuma's revenge. And here we are again. And that's why, I think, that's why we're so despondent right now, is because we've been here before a million times, and we let it happen again.
Yeah.
That we got so encouraged. And now we're discouraged once again.
It's true. It's true. We had no hopes. We had no hopes and dreams. We were just like, all right, let's enjoy the season. And then the Clippers gave us hopes and dreams. And everybody started talking about the Clippers, the one thing we didn't want. And then once everybody started talking about the Clippers, they fell flat on their face. And it's not been great.
Do you think that plays into their psyche as well?
Yeah, I think it's possible.
Do you think some of these players, with those expectations, you know, that they sort of are like, well, I wish the playoffs would start now. And each regular season game seems like a chore, because they're like, well, maybe that they get into their head that we are a championship level team and these games are beneath us. We just need to get to the playoffs, or I don't know if I can meet these expectations, like one or the other.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And listen, you're not winning games when Kawhi and Harden are combined 1 of 12 from three. You're not winning games when Paul George has 5 turnovers. You're not winning games when Terrence Mann has 1 rebound. Like, the Clippers did a lot wrong today. The only thing that was good was Norm. I mean, Norm had 20 points. Apart from that, I could pick out anybody. And you know what I'm not going to pick out? I'm not going to pick out Zoo. Because Zoo had 13 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 blocks. And he was a plus 5 in 29 minutes. Please play Zoo more. Please get him the ball more. I mean, Zoo has been so good, and he's going up against Mo Bamba and Paul Reed. Get him the ball. Like, if you're going to shoot 5 of 13, James Harden, get Zoo the ball. And Kawhi obviously needs to shoot a little bit better. Paul George needs to shoot a little bit better. He needs to take care of the basketball. There are certain things that we wanted to go one by one with each guy. Those are the main sticking points. But play Zoo more and just do your thing. Like, you guys are capable of shooting better and playing better. Try harder. You guys have the talent. Try harder. Start acting as if these are playoff games and these games are your 10-point favorites. Act like they matter. And by the way, when I said the 2 games in a row thing for Harden not speaking to the media, I think that may have been that Atlanta loss, the 2 games at home in a row, the Atlanta loss, then this game. I'm assuming he spoke in Portland. I'm assuming he would after a win. I don't know why he wouldn't. I've been gone, so I have no idea if he did. But I'm assuming it's 2 straight games at home that he has not spoken to the media. Either way, like, play Zoo more. And apart from that, Zoo and Norm, I think those are the two guys you can actually tip your hat to tonight.
Definitely, and whether he spoke in the 2 wins against Portland, whatever. Speaking all of them,
yeah.
But you brought up Zoo, and he was great tonight. And then you brought up Harden, and now I wish I had the typing and the research on the fly skills to look at this. But do you remember how potent their pick and roll was once they got it going? The chemistry. I'm just wondering if that's still because I'm thinking about it, and I don't remember seeing a lot of Zoo and Harden pick and rolls in recent memory. And I'm wondering if they went away from that because there's a lot of ISO. There's a lot of ISO happening with this team. And I'm curious and a lot of team man driving kick, but I'm wondering if there is with the pick and roll numbers, if they've dropped significantly and why they may have gone away from that with Harden and Zoo when it was a really potent weapon at a certain point. Before he got injured.
Yeah, and it happened today with Plumlee, where Harden had one of those lobs over his shoulder and gave it to Plumlee for a dunk. But you're right, like, the chemistry that was there that everybody was talking about, like, we've mentioned that, it just hasn't really been there. It's not great. And listen, I started this podcast by saying that the Clippers, or I didn't really start it, a little bit into it, I was saying that the Clippers are going to be favorites in a lot of these games. And here we are again, where the Clippers are going to go, and they're going to take on Indiana at home tomorrow, where Indiana's playing tonight against the Lakers. The Clippers have the rest advantage there. They play at home as well. Then they go at Philly on Wednesday, at Orlando Friday, at Charlotte Sunday, at Sacramento Tuesday. It's a 4-game road trip. The Clippers should win at least 3 of 4. Because guess what? You come home and you face Denver. So I know everybody's been talking about those 1, 2, and 3 seeds. Remember how you and I were like, stop talking about that? Like, be more concerned about the Pelicans behind you? All of a sudden, after today's game, everyone's tweeting out the Pelicans are 1/2 game behind the Clippers. And the Pelicans have the tiebreaker. Well, yeah, guess what? The Phoenix Suns, they're 2.5 back of Los Angeles Clippers. You know who the Clippers play on April 9th and April 10th? The Phoenix Suns. The Clippers need to get their act together or they're going to fall all the way to the 6th spot. And if they lose to Sacramento next Tuesday, then they could see themselves possibly fall into the play-in. So they have got to start winning games and start to value these ball games. Because if they don't, then we're going to go right back where we've been in that play-in spot. But the Clippers need to find a way to start winning ball games. That is the biggest point that we need to make.
It's critical mass. It's time to start taking every game as seriously as you said you were going to take every game this season, and which they did in the beginning. And look, this Pacers team has Haliburton. It has my guy, my favorite player in the NBA, Miles T. It has Nesmith, Obi Toppin, Ben Mathurin, Nembhard. It's got really athletic guys, but a lot of shooters and a lot of people where they're going to be swinging the ball around and cutting. They have Siakam, of course. He's not so much of a shooter, but he takes up space in the paint. This is going to be a big test. This is the kind of team that the Clippers kind of struggle against with all these shooters and the ball just moving and constant movement and cutting. So it's not like this is not any kind of a guaranteed win for the Clippers, especially since they're playing at home. Fine, this will be fine. But especially because it's on a back-to-back.
Yeah.
So I believe this is going to be a huge test, and the Clippers cannot take this game lightly. They can take any of the games lightly, like you just said, but this one in particular, this is the game that you should win, but this is the team that is built to give the Clippers, as currently constructed and as currently playing, problems.
Yep, no doubt. And by the way, the Clippers have 12 games left. Four of those games are against teams that you should win against for sure. And Houston, Utah, Charlotte. That means you probably need to get two more wins to go 6-6, and a team would have to go 9-3. That is three games back of you to surpass you. So the play-in is very unlikely. But the Clippers falling to that five spot seems really likely at this point, the way they're playing. But we'll see. We'll see if the Clippers decide to start turning things around. And they're going to have to do it so against against Indiana on Monday. So most likely we're going to be back on Wednesday night, since the Clippers play on the East Coast. Love when that happens. It's a 4:30 game on ESPN. We'll try and get you a podcast Wednesday night, and then we'll get you one Sunday after that game against Charlotte. So we'll recap the Indiana and Philly games, and then the Orlando and Charlotte ball games. Of course, if you can always rate and review the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, review the podcast as well. You can follow me on X/Twitter at BDMarcus. You can follow Matt at Matt Matawaran, MattawaRan. And hopefully the Clippers can find a way to get a win. So, until next time, he's Matt, I'm Brandon, and go Clips.
Go Clips.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.